Hey everybody, it's Monday, happy to have you. This is Eric Mann on Voices from the Front Lines, 90.7 FM, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. So hang with me here because I'm going to try to explain a little bit of a change in the format where you'll be getting to do a lot more talking this day, or starting around 4:15, so get your thoughts together, get your numbers together, and I'm going to keep alternating two numbers. Let me explain what the subject is for those of you who were listening last Monday and who've been hanging on the edge of your seat for an entire week waiting for this show. The subject is essentially on the factual level that on this Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, on the 17th of October, the Bus Riders Union, the Strategy Center, South Central Farmers, and it looks like a lot of other groups, which is very encouraging, are going to have a rally on the steps of City Hall. At this point, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa's City Hall, calling for, in the framing demand, 1,000 more buses, 1,000 less police. But this is really, even more fundamentally, a challenge to what I would say is the mayor's neoliberal agenda, his pro-business agenda, as somebody was telling me on my way in. There's a headline in one of the newspapers that said Mayor Villaraigosa is in China right now to sell Los Angeles. So what's the problem with a moderately liberal, moderately progressive, perhaps moderate, perhaps centrist mayor, Antonio Villaraigosa? What are our issues with him? Why a rally on City Hall steps? In some people's mind, why so late? In others, why so early? In others, why are you doing it all together? So I'm going to try to explain again the rationale for this march, which we really want you to attend, we being the Bus Riders Union, the Strategy Center, and a coalition of other groups. But this is a talk show. This is not simply getting you to go somewhere. This is, you can have opinions on this. One of the things we really want to discuss is a year plus into his term. What do you think of the mayor? What is your understanding of him? I want to give you my interpretation of his first year plus in office and explain why we think the demonstration is so important. So the first number is 213-387-2800. That's the get involved number. That's calling the Labor Community Strategy Center right now, the Bus Riders Union right now, and saying that you want to come to this march, you want to come to this demonstration, and by the way, thank you for those of you who called last week. You want to march for 1,000 more buses and 1,000 less police. You want to march and have a rally against Prop 1B, which we call the highway robbery bond, which I'll explain. You're very worried about the LAPD and police harassment of civil rights groups, grassroots groups, the growing repressive conditions in the city, which interestingly are not being opposed by the mayor. You're worried about Chief Bratton's broken windows theory, which I'm going to tell you about. And, this is very important, you want to break with this terrible, terrible history in which liberals, leftists, progressives, especially those who are very pro-black and very pro-Latino, both blacks and Latinos, but also others of us who think that way, who have been almost afraid to take on a Tom Bradley, afraid for some reason to take on a Bill Clinton, afraid to take on an Antonio Villaraigosa, but consistently rail against George Bush, Reagan, Nixon, but they seem to alternate anger and passivity depending on whether a Republican or a Democrat is in office. So this would be sort of progressives to stop the triangulation strategy, which I'm going to explain that the mayor, in my opinion, is carrying out. Triangulation was the idea that Bill Clinton came up with, which was basically, look, you're very afraid of the far right, Newt Gingrich, I am moderately, supposedly a liberal, but basically the hell with the liberals. I'm going to do nothing for the liberals. This is Bill Clinton speaking. What I'm going to do instead is fight for welfare as we know it, to kill welfare as we know it, to develop, this is Bill Clinton, the Effective Death Penalty Act, which gets rid of habeas corpus, which makes all the people that you're here being imprisoned right now or being imprisoned as well because of Bill Clinton. So what happens, what is it that allows a Clinton to cut welfare? What allows an Antonio Villaraigosa to ask for 1,000 more police? What allows a mayor, Antonio Villaraigosa, to try to work with the Terminator, the Gubernator, Governor Schwarzenegger in a friendly alliance. If you've been seeing these pictures of Fabian Nunez, the assembly speaker, Mayor Villaraigosa, and Governor Schwarzenegger yucking it up, hugging, you know, up in front of the cameras in Sacramento, when just 6 months ago or a year ago we were told, vote no on the governor's plan, the governor's terrible, the governor's threatening unions, the governor's our enemy. But you can tell when a deal has been cut, and all of a sudden now a deal has been cut. A new alliance has been created. And now all of a sudden the governor is being rehabilitated. He moves slightly from the far right a little bit to the center. Villaraigosa moves a little bit from the vaguely progressive liberal into the center. And the next thing you know, they're both occupying the center. And the theory is that those of us on the left, those of us who consider ourselves progressives, even those who consider themselves reformed Democrats, are supposed to smile and take it because they don't have an independent base. Well, fortunately, a lot of us who are independent, grassroots, left, revolutionary, progressive, anti-racist, pro-black, pro-Latino, activists, organizers, are having a rally this Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, October 17th, on City Hall steps. Now, I'm going to take a couple of minutes to explain the demands, explain why we think this is important, and my main point, my first point, is taking on a liberal mayor to simply say, Mr. Mayor, we want something, is shocking in L.A., and it shouldn't be, because during the 60s, I remember when black groups, militant black groups, challenged Dr. Martin Luther King and said, your nonviolence is not working. You don't speak for us. Your deals with the Democrats are not working. And King, to his credit, said, I cannot condemn those more militant, even those more violent than myself, when my own strategies and tactics are not working. I'm not here to condemn the more militant demands of my own community. But today, we think that there will be an unfriendly response, and we hope we're wrong, by some forces in the community who can say, why is the strategy and the bus riders even taking on our liberal mayor? So in about 5 minutes, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to go to the phones. The reason I'm not giving the other number is because we just don't know yet what number we want you to come in on. But the first number to get involved is 213-387-2800. There are people right now at the Strategy Center and the Bus Rides Union. Now I'm going to go over the demands quickly. We're going to take a short break. I'm going to come back, figure out what the number is we want you to call in on, and I hope you're getting ready to discuss this. All right, here are the issues. 1,000 more buses, 1,000 less police. Essentially, how did we come up with the idea that we want more police? The general idea is LA City has about 7,800 police right now. The chief of police, William Bratton, has a theory called broken windows. What broken windows means is, according to his theory, that you start arresting people on very small issues, tiny issues, broken windows, public drunkenness, loitering, supposedly breaking a curfew. You start arresting kids early, you theoretically get them out of a cycle of crime. Of course, anybody with any sense of logic, decency, and knowing what's going on knows the opposite happens. That at 13, 14, 15, and 16, mainly black and Latino low-income kids begin to develop a criminal record. Then they get on a gang database, which they don't even usually know that they're on. Then when they show up and later on, they may do something like breaking and entering against something I consider relatively minor. But then they're given an enhanced sentence because they were in a gang. Well, they often were not in a gang. They were just placed on the gang database. The next is the mayor's subway to the sea. This is a bizarre boondoggle of a $5 billion idea to dig a hole from the corner of Western and Wilshire, where our offices are, all the way to Santa Monica for $5 billion, fill it with a subway tunnel, which will take years and years and years, as the mayor admits. Meanwhile, virtually bankrupting the bus system, stealing money, if I may say, raiding money, as they say, from the bus system in order to pay for this. And then when it's built, the subway, who's going to operate it? Well, they're going to take money away from the bus system. They're going to raise bus fares. You watch it or try. They're going to cut bus service. So we can't allow. Who wants to go on a train right now from Weston and Wilshire to Santa Monica when the rapid bus is really doing great already right on Wilshire? We need the mayor to have bus-only lanes, not a subway to the sea. Right now, if they just had a bus-only lane, those buses could go all the way down. There's a lot. Now I want to talk about just Prop 1B for a minute. We'll talk about it more on the show. Prop 1B is a $20 billion bond being floated by the governor and the mayor and, again, Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez. Can you grasp $20 billion? It's a $20 billion loan. A bond is a loan. It means the state borrows money. It gets the $20 billion up front, but just like buying a house, you now have a $20 billion house payment that you're paying at 5, 6, and 7%, whatever the market rate is. On $20 billion, that's a tremendous amount of money. Every year, that debt gets paid, principal and interest. At the end of whatever, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you will pay double the amount of the loan, $20 billion plus almost $20 billion in interest. Well, who's going to pay? The state. What are they going to pay out of? Schools, hospitals, public services, psychiatric care, all the cuts, including King Drew Medical Center. The state keeps saying it has no money for this, but it's going to build highways. Basically, we should have a moratorium on highways. This is a lot about the, I don't know, many of you know about the Port of Los Angeles, where essentially this is a total boondoggle to support the shipping industry. Then the shipping industry is going to put stuff on containers. Those containers are going to go on diesel trucks. Those diesel trucks are going to pollute the heck out of everybody's neighborhood. They're going to end up somewhere in the Inland Empire. What a terrible name, the Inland Empire. What are they? They're not an empire. They're just a place stuck in the middle of, you know, Eastern California, where, as Penny Newman points out, warehouse after warehouse after warehouse is being built, driving people's houses out. Trucks are going through people's neighborhoods. You should go out there in the San Bernardino area and see what's going on. So no on 1B, no on 1,000 more cops, no on the red line to the sea, yes for bus-only lanes, no to police harassment of civil rights demonstrators, and no to the mayor's implied strategy of triangulating the progressive movement and asking us to be quiet. We won't be quiet. We're going to march on City Hall Tuesday, October 17th. Get there at 3 o'clock. The rally will start at 4. It's going to be very cool. We're going to cover the steps of City Hall on Spring Street. If you're interested in that rally, call 213-387-2800, which is the Strategy Center Bus Riders Union. Say you want to get involved. We're going to take a short break. We're going to go through some good music, thanks to my friend, comrade, buddy, Mark Max Maxwell, who's going to give us some Art Blakey and other jazz benefits from there. And then when we come back, I'm going to give you the number, and please call. Let's talk it up and take me to task. Say whatever you want, but just say it briefly and concisely, because I want to see if we can get 10, 15 callers in today. Thank you so much. This is Eric Mann on Voices from the Front Lines. KPFK 90.7 FM. We're going to go out and hear some jazz, and when we come back, give me a call. Hey everybody, this is Eric Mann. Thanks so much for listening to us. This is KPFK 90.7 FM. The show is called Voices from the Front Lines. In a minute, we're going to go to the phones. We have our normal number, 818-985-5735. So if you want to talk about, here's the subject matter. What do you think of Mayor Villaraigosa 1 year plus into his term? What do you think of the issues? Please speak to the issues that I've raised. If you have other concerns about the mayor, that's fine, but could you start with the many issues that I just laid out? Do you want to march on the 17th of October? Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think the mayor is triangulating the left or trying? What do you think? So we're going to go to 818-985-5735. So start calling now. We'll line up some callers, and I'll get to you in a minute. Second thing is that Starting tomorrow, we're going to have the fun drive. We won't be on during the fun drive, but we're totally, completely ahead of, behind, on both sides of the fun drive. I'm happy to say that my book, Katrina's Legacy, White Racism and Black Reconstruction, New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, will be used as a premium on several of the fun drive offers, including Mark Maxwell's excellent show, his jazz show on Sunday night, and apparently other shows will be using it as a premium as well. So we're honored to be part of that. And we're going to give you the number to practice now, 818-985-5735. That's the number to call us. 213-387-2800 is the number to call about getting involved in the demonstration. Let's take some folks. Who do we got? We're going to start with Megan. Megan from Costa Mesa. So thanks a lot for calling. You with Eric Mann on Voices from the Frontlines.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I've never been into politics, really, until Mayor Villaraigosa. I feel like he's the most proactive politician that's out there right now. When he came out and the European Airlines thing was going on, and he came out and he did that press conference, and it sounded like he just was really concerned on making sure that everybody in L.A. County and everywhere, it seemed like, just to let them know that we were safe. And since for the last 5 years, everybody's been on edge and just literally been scared to death about what's going on with the airlines and with everything and the terrorists. And you always hear about something bad happening. And he just really drove it home that everything's okay. We're all going to be fine. And I thought that was so awesome just to know that, like, he wanted to make sure that we all knew that we're secure. And as a 23-year-old girl, I like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm tired of being scared. And he, like, literally, he just drove that home. He's very proactive. He's amazing. He's honest. It's like he's hands-on. I love him. He's awesome.
Okay, good. Well, let me respond
so
to you on the air.
Say.
No, Megan, thanks a lot. That's very good. I mean, first of all, I'm glad you feel safe. I mean, first of all, nobody is saying he's a bad guy. Antonio Villaraigosa comes out of the civil rights movement. He comes out of the left, although I'm not sure he wants that past proudly proclaimed. He's a charismatic figure. He's got a good sense of humor. He's got a good heart. There's a lot of good things about the mayor, except most of his policies. For instance, it's really good that you felt safer because the mayor was coming out and saying you're safe, but just like Giuliani did after September 11th, the ability for the mayor to walk around and be a public figure to reassure people is a good idea. But if the war in Iraq continues to go on and the mayor does not speak out against it, if the invasion of Lebanon goes on, and he doesn't...
The war in Iraq is
wait. Okay, just listen to what I'm saying.
Okay, sorry.
I'm taking you very seriously. I'm not trying to make you feel unsafe. I'm trying to take you seriously about, there's a lot of good things about the mayor, especially his personality. But with elected officials, I've been laying out a lot of different concerns about his actual policies, okay? So we're going to move on in the sense of, all I was trying to say to you is if the mayor does not speak out against the war in Iraq, if the mayor said the other day in front of the Congreso Latino that every country has the right to secure its borders, every country has the right to arrest people who cross those borders illegally, but I want you to know that the people of Mexico are coming here to work, then he's supporting implicitly a 700-mile wall between the United States and Mexico. That doesn't make Mexican immigrants feel very safe. If he doesn't get to the core of why the United States feels unsafe from North Korea, just because they launched a nuclear weapon, even though the United States has gazillions of them.
And until the president is out of office, or until the president and people like the president are out of office and out of politics, we're always going to have these problems. And I don't think that's what people understand, is these problems have always existed, and they always will exist, until people are always perfect. And no, that will never happen.
Okay. Is it okay to leave it here?
Excuse me?
Is it okay? We'll just leave it here and move to another call. Is that okay?
That's perfect.
You get the last word.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. And keep calling in. KPFK 90.7 FM. This is Eric Mann. Our next caller is Paul from Encino. Not Encino Man. Paul from Encino. How you doing?
Hey, you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I just wanted to say, in terms of the rail line, I was on the so-called rapid bus that goes down Vermont, and it doesn't go any faster than the regular bus, just because it's stuck in traffic. So. So I totally agree with the bus riders union, because in terms of the cost of building this absurd line to the sea, even if we built that, we'd still be going north and south, at 5 miles per hour.
Well, exactly. But if I could just add a thing that you see, you understand that we're proposing what's called bus-only lanes.
Right, exactly.
I had two organizers go out today, Anna Ruth and Jorge. They came back and said it was wall-to-wall on the Vermont bus, that women were being squeezed,
Exactly.
And one reason, Paul, is because if we don't have bus-only lanes, if we had bus-only lanes, the buses could be moving much faster. If they were moving much faster, we could even put more service, which you've been telling the MTA to do. Because you're absolutely right. If the service is only going east and west but not north and south, then what's the point? And for $5 billion, they're never going to fix up the Vermont line. But go ahead with your next point.
Oh, no, that's exactly my point. I mean, in other words, if we build these rapid if we build the rail to Santa Monica, we're still going to be like going really slow north and south. So we need the BRU's proposal to create an extensive bus only lane system throughout LA on all the major thoroughfares.
That's great. Would you be willing to march with us a week from Tuesday?
I'm there, and also, can I give a plug to my blog, because I talk about
this. Sure, blog away, brother.
It's labusrider.blogspot.com.
labusrider.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
Paul Ferencino, thank you so much. We're going to move to our next caller.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye. You're with Eric Mann, KPFK, 90.7 FM, Voices from the Front Lines. Jack from San Gabriel. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing real well.
Thanks for calling.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have you. The previous caller mentioned that she's so thrilled with Antonio because he's so honest. Well, when he was councilman, he promised the East Side that he wouldn't jump to a higher office and wouldn't use it as a stepping stone. He lied there. He comes from a union background, and he circumvented the will of the people, duly elected people that elect the school board, went to Sacramento so he can get control of the schools. And the reason Fabian Nunez and Antonio, both political animals, political beasts, first and foremost, the reason that they're getting going towards the center, Eric, is because I think Fabian has got his eyes on Antonio's gig, and Antonio has got his eyes on the Terminator's gig, and they're just political animals. They're like snakes. They're not going to change. They're like leopards. They don't change their colors. They're concerned about their ambitions. I think Antonio's bitten off way too much for that midget to chew on, and I'm terribly disappointed in him. But I'm disappointed in just about most politicians, But what can you expect, actually? And I don't mean that cynically. I mean, they're in there to maintain and improve their position. How do you feel about that?
Well, leaving aside the fact that you created a zoo in one set of analogies with everybody, but I have a lot of agreement with your basic premise that, for instance, it is, we can't hypothesize completely, but when I do see Governor Schwarzenegger and Fabian Nunez and the Mayor Villaraigosa up there in Sacramento literally hugging and laughing it up, let's understand, as you said just word for word, the subtext. I feel the subtext is Villaraigosa saying, I'm not going to work for the Democrat, I'll be honest. That's scary. What's his name, the guy running for governor? He's so invisible. No, I'm curious. Ben, what's his name? The Democrat.
Maybe I was misunderstood. Antonio wants to be governor.
That's what I'm saying. So he's not going to work for the gubernatorial candidate this year to let him lose, so that in 4 years, you see what I mean? So we're agreeing with that. And I heard also the rumor that Fabian Nunez wants to be the next mayor because he'll be termed out. But here's the issue.
Mm-hmm.
rather than criticizing them, that's not my main point, as I think you know. If we say, let's take it a certain way, that they get into office, and I'll tell you somebody who confided in me sort of like this. When they get into office, the first thing that Fabio Nunez does to everybody who gets elected to the Assembly or the State Senate is say, how much money can you raise? If you want to get a good seat on the whatever the seat is on this committee, I need you to go raise a lot of money. Well, where are you going to raise money? You just raised money for a campaign, a progressive campaign. You're asked to go back to lobbyists and special interests to raise money for the Democratic Party so the Democratic Party can get people in so-called difficult seats in moderate areas elected. So that's why we want to march. You know, the question is, if I share your basic analogy, taking away a few of the animal analogies, which are pretty good, actually, that's what we want to be on City Hall steps on October 17th at 4 o'clock and call 213-387-2800. Because if we're on a talk show right now, mm-hmm. and you make a very good observation, let's say, mm-hmm. Antonio Villaraigosa is not worried about that observation. He's not worried about us at this moment. But if we're on the steps of City Hall, there's the first time that the press says, wait a minute, progressives...
I'll be there.
Okay,
I'll
brother.
I'll be there, and you make a very cogent point. And what it is money corrupts, is what you're saying. And they're working for lobbyists. It brings me to that old saying, the only honest politician is a politician that gets bought and stays bought. I don't know what to tell you, you know, but, I mean, you give me hope, you know. You and your callers give me hope and KPS, you know. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you very much.
Take good care, and I'll see you on a week from Tuesday.
I'll heard that.
Okay, let's see who got read this. You're listening to KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. I'm Eric Mann. The show is Voices from the Front Lines. Hi, everybody. Yeah, we're doing good. All right, and the calls are coming in, which is great. Hey, Mary, how you doing? Mary from East L.A. Nice to hear from you, Mary. I'm Eric Mann. What's happening?
Well, I live in City Terrace, and I was really excited when Newsweek had his photograph. And that he's the first Mexican mayor in, I don't know how many, 150 years or something. And I don't like the idea of protesting in front of his office, because I think that he would listen to us better if we protested in front of the MTA or in front of the main police department. Because then you're taking it away from, you know, like putting a tarnish on him, because I think that he can be worked with. And one thing he recently did was sign a bill for $15 million to help homeless people get houses and services. He's not that bad. I go to street marches all the time, but I like Antonio Villaraigosa too much to march on his stairs.
Well, Mary, it's a good point, but let me tell you a different way of seeing it. First of all, a march on an elected official used to be something we did, like waking up in the morning and having oatmeal. An elected official is supposed to be marched on. It's not a criticism or an attack. If you're with a group, for instance, like, first of all, I want to say I was happy to see him on the cover of Newsweek. Not that it matters. I think I'm allowed to. I worked for Villaraigosa, interestingly, and endorsed him for what it's worth, campaigned for him. But I did so without any illusions. But I did think it was important to have the first Mexican Chicano mayor in a long time. I thought he was very good in reaching out to the black community. This is not a question of, you know what I mean, like, he's a bad guy. I think you have every right to be proud of the first Mexican mayor in, you know, since the 1800s. But the other side is he can't expect for 4 years that if he carries out policies, like, he's the one asking for 1,000 more police, right? He's asking for this $20 billion bond measure. We have spoken to him. We've written him a 6-page letter, which is now public, which we gave him on July 7th. Just to tell you, Mary, an interesting thing. Do you know that we spent a year, we at the Bus Riders Union Strategy Center, spent a year trying to get a meeting with the mayor to talk to him privately.
Uh-huh.
Several of his aides said, listen, we really want you to talk to the mayor. We said, listen, we're going to have some fairly significant disagreements with him, but we'd like to talk to him just person to person to let him know this is not a personal attack. We'd like to explain our point of view. Then they sent an aide to meet with us and say, well, the mayor wants to further understand what it is that you want to talk to him about. Then they called us up and said, well, listen, it looks really good. He wants to meet with you in a couple of weeks. We waited. Then he said, the mayor said at the MTA, Mary, to Manuel Criollo and Francisca Porchas, listen, Bus Riders Union, I know you want to meet with me. That's going to happen. We waited a year. Finally, then we sent him a private letter. And we know the man, a very nice letter, a long one, but a nice one, saying, Mayor, we disagree on the police issue. We disagree on the bus issue. You're not doing anything for us. Could we please meet and talk? He would not meet and talk. So here we're July 7th, August 7th, September 7th, you know, October 7th, October 17th, 4.5 months after a letter, and that letter was a year after he was elected mayor.
Well, maybe he's too busy his, you know, his ploy for getting to be governor, which is understandable. Maybe, like I said, just divide it and do it more like right to the MTA, because you have a problem with their, you know,
right,
suggestion for the subway.
Well, why don't we do this, Mary? I mean, first of all, it's very nice of you to call. The number is 818-985-5735. Why don't you send him a personal letter? Because you don't want to march, right? You're not clear that that's a good thing.
I agree with you. I mean,
why don't you send him a personal note and say that you are very proud of him, that you think a lot of things the Bus Riders Union is saying is right, but you don't feel comfortable marching at City Hall, but you would like him to know that you'd like him to change some of those policies.
I would love to write them.
Thanks, Mary, and thanks for staying in touch, okay? Take good care. All right, next. These are really good callers, but it was a pleasure, really thoughtful callers. John in Venice. How you doing, John? You above or below water, brother?
Hey, how you doing? How's everything, Eric?
This is Eric Mann at KPFK 90.7 FM. Glad to have you. Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, to get to your first statements about the buses and all that, I totally agree with it. I thought the subway from the beginning was an insane proposition over here when they started it. I think it was Reardon and all of them.
That's right.
And this is earthquake country, and like, why not have a monorail going down the freeway? So they don't have to acquire land and all that. And then all the other people who called in, I mean, I picked up the, I voted for Villagosa, by the way, and I support a lot of things. And what I see his picture all over the paper today, he's in China, you know? I don't know, he is profiling himself to go off for a thing. Why isn't he walking the streets in Skid Row right now talking to those people? And instead of these $20 billion that they want to float this bond, I've never voted for a bond issue, because a bond issue is only money in the richest pockets, because they're the ones who can buy these bonds. No poor people can buy these bonds.
That's
they
right.
They have the $100,000 and the $200,000 to buy these block of bonds. So that's another thing, too, that people don't realize. And we'll pay for the interest of that for years to come.
Exactly right.
As you astutely mentioned and everything, you got a great voice and a great way of speaking to the people. And the First Lady, like, you know, anybody who keeps talking about people that they're awesome, I don't know, nobody I've met. There's a lot of heroes in these neighborhoods that go out and sweep the streets themselves and feed the people. You know, I don't know if they're awesome, but they're doing God's work right here. And whatever else is going on, this is insanity to the max. The people who are voting for this train to go to the beach will never ride it.
Exactly right.
And the poor people who are riding, I'm a bus rider at times, and when I need it. And I'll tell you the truth, the people on the bus are not the people who are going to vote. They don't care about it. They're the people that are going to clean the homes. They're going to do the jobs that nobody else can do. And they are the people that are sitting back with their Devos and Blackberries and this berry and that berry. They could care less about the people who have to fight for the room on the buses in the morning. I mean,
all right, well, listen,
terrible.
You're doing great. Let me just let it go there, because you're very articulate yourself. So it's a mutual admiration society. Please call us at 213-387-2800. Do you think it's possible that a week from Tuesday you could get yourself to City Hall steps and continue to be part of a movement? That would really be great.
If it's possible, you know, and like, you know, I won't take the number again, but repeat it on air and I'll write it down. I got a piece of paper.
All right, I'm going to give you two numbers, everybody. 213-387-2800 is the number if you'd like to get involved with the Strategy Center Bus Riders Union. On their, and by the way, the march is called Mr. Mayor, We Respectfully Disagree. We are not going after him as a person. We're going after him because we don't agree with his policies, with the goal of getting him to change his policies. The number here, 818-985-5735, is both to call me, Eric Mann, on Voices from the Frontlines, KPFK 90.7 FM, Also, to get you ready to call it tomorrow for the fund drive and give as generously as you possibly can, and I promise I'll be one of the first callers. I'm going to call Max Sunday night. That's who I'm going to give my money to. So you hold me to that, Max, okay? So I'm going to be giving money on every fund drive. And now I'm going to read you something, then we go, Sam from Hollywood, hold on, you're next. This is what they put up on the screen. A caller who couldn't hold said that she was shocked when Villaraigosa called for more police because she had heard him say when he was campaigning that he would not be bringing on more police. So whether or not that's, again, thank you for calling, and I just wanted to read that out loud. And now we're going to go from Sam to in Hollywood, and please call us up at 818-985-5735. I think you can see that all different points of view are really respected here and welcomed. It's not, you know, I've had my point of view, and now it's your chance. Please speak up. This is public radio, 818-985-5735. Give us a call while I talk to Sam in Hollywood. Sam, what's happening?
What's up? Hey, Eric, man. I called to ask some questions and maybe to comment on one of the things the other callers had said.
Sure.
First, I guess she said try not doing it near his office because we want him as an ally or something to that effect.
Did I say that? No, a caller said that.
But basically, the South Central Farmers had tried pleading with the mayor for 3 straight years, and he ignored them. And I know that the consent decree yourself was a huge issue that had to be ignored so many times before it was ever heard. And we tried respectfully not putting any pressure on the mayor, but it seems like he won't do anything or step up to the plate until it's politically a hot-button issue that might affect his future candidacies.
Well, I agree with you, and I'll tell you, Sam, that, you know, we almost have to re-educate ourselves as if having a demonstration on an elected official is a big thing. That's what we're supposed to do. We're a grassroots organization. He's supposed to, you know, the theory is elected officials are supposed to care about social movements and grassroots groups, right? We had the March on Washington when Kennedy was president. He moved a little bit. He moved on the Civil Rights Bill, but not strongly enough. So we had more demonstrations. And then Johnson finally passed the Civil Rights Bill. A lot, because the demonstrations brought international attention to the fact that the United States was still carrying out racist policies. One of our leverages on the mayor is he wants to position himself as progressive on Monday, as moderate on Tuesday, as a green mayor on Wednesday, as a law and order mayor on Thursday, as a conservative mayor on Friday. And we're supposed to watch the different incarnations that he goes through without us sticking to what we want to do. So the march again is on City Hall, October 17th at 4. The number, if you want to get involved, is 213-387-2800.
And you guys are having a meeting also the day before?
No. Not that if we do, Sam, maybe we are, and I don't even know about it. Okay?
I have one more question.
Sure.
We used to have a light rail system. I'm not old enough to remember it, but I guess we used to have a light rail system in L.A., and I guess it was probably destroyed for development, no less, but now won't this make a lot of bus drivers lose jobs if they create this? I mean, wouldn't it be more sustainable for jobs if it was based on buses running, say, biodiesel in the next few years, as opposed to something that won't be done? And
absolutely. You know, the mayor, just very quickly, because we got about 8 great callers here, we heard the mayor at the Congreso Latino said a strange thing. He said, I want you to know that the red line to the sea, my subway to the sea, it may not be built in my first term. It may not be built in my second term, implying he's going to get one. But it'll get started. And I'm thinking, get started? You're going to spend $2 billion to dig a hole from Western to Fairfax. Now, how many Jewish women in Fairfax want to walk on a hole for 2.5 years?
Exactly.
While this thing is...
Can't even ride
your bike. And let me tell you, a lot of the store owners between Western and Fairfax are going to find out when they start digging up that that's not going to be fun for them. Their stores are going to be hurt. So,
and
the other thing... And I got to move. Listen, you've been very nice. I got to move to a couple of other calls. But your last point is that the Bus Riders Union thinks we've won at least 800 additional green jobs of drivers, mechanics, and service people since we won the consent decree. Thank you. Very nice talking with you.
Thank you very much.
Melissa in Orange County and then Clinton and Skid Row back to back. Okay, Melissa, I think I'm going to have you both talk one at a time and then respond to both points so you both get a little more time to talk. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Eric. I wanted to comment on your comment you made on the police department and this triangle that you're talking of. And I just wanted to say that I think that it's the poor people who get arrested. And I think that a large majority of us are going to be poor people if we already aren't. And that's very important that police especially understand that, you know, we should not be arresting and taking freedom away from people who are not criminals.
Well, you know, it's an interesting point, Melissa, that, you know, the South Central farmers, who are such good people, and they had that farm for years and years, and as the previous caller pointed out, tried to negotiate with the mayor. The mayor actually tried to help them. I want to be clear that the mayor did try to raise money to try to buy from the person who owned the property. My criticism of the mayor, and I think theirs as well, and they have deeper criticisms, is that at the moment that the property owner, by the way, in alliance with Jan Perry of South Central, the city council person, not just, you know, the mayor was much more progressive than Jan Perry on this issue, but the mayor should have said no police. The mayor should have said that if, in fact, we're going to ask nonviolent people who are having a civil disobedience action at the South Central Farm, there should not be police. And as I've heard on several callers, they brought in sheriffs, L.A. sheriffs, and LAPD. Several people were pretty badly beaten until the media showed up. And then there are at least five or six people that are presently facing felony charges for resisting arrest and supposedly fighting with the police. The mayor has not dropped those charges. And one of the things we're asking on Tuesday, October 17th, is to drop all charges against the South Central farmers and their allies. So thank you very much, Melissa. I'm going to move, it, if it's okay, to Clinton on Skid Row. This is Eric Mann on Voices from the Frontlines, KPFK 90.7, 818-985-5735. People are being great. Keep it going. Hey, Clinton.
Hi, Eric. This is Clinton from the Bus Riders Union.
I know you, Clinton. What's up?
Hey, I'm actually finishing up my AmeriCorps commitment with Hope for the Homeless on Skid Row. And I just say in comment to more police officers, it really breaks my heart, even though the LAPD, I think if they're doing what they do as a job, but it breaks my heart to see how many police officers are being used to displace and move people from the Skid Row area right now. And it'd be difficult for people to understand unless they see it over the period of time that I've been working in Skid Row. That people have to be out of their tents and moving somewhere by 6 in the morning, and they can only start setting up tents and sleeping on the streets at 9 p.m. And I don't know where people are going, but they're being arrested, and they're disappearing into the system right now, and it's becoming very difficult for people. So I'm going to be at the march, and we respectfully disagree with Villaraigosa. I don't see why we need more police officers to harass the poor when the downtown area is being regentrified. So that's my comment. I'll take your response off the air.
Thank you, Clinton. And one thing I'll say is that, you know, I don't want to intervene in a story that I don't completely understand, but I'm hoping after the fund drive that we can have a discussion of who signed this agreement with the city to make a deal that the homeless would be allowed to be there at night but couldn't be there during the day. What in the world are homeless people supposed to do all day? If you have no, imagine if you had a house and they tore your house down every day and you had to rebuild it every night, or they told you that you could only occupy your house in the evenings. I mean, I don't get it, and I don't understand what was progressive about this consent decree agreement. I'd like to understand who negotiated it. I'd like to get the people on who negotiated it to defend their point of view. Maybe they understand something I don't. Maybe they're homeless and homeless attorneys who are just very smart. But they may be wrong, and I'd like to make Clinton's point one that we discuss on future Voices from the Frontline. So, Lisa Adler, if you're listening, let's book those folks and let's have a good debate on that. Okay, David from L.A. is next, and then Maria from Santa Monica is next. David, how you doing? Eric Mann on Voices from the Frontlines.
Hey, I'm doing fine, thanks. Yeah, you know, as a Latino, of course, I symbolically supported a Villaraigosa. But in particular, you know, as being somebody from Central America, I think there still needs to be more work done with respect to easing the schisms between the Mexican Mexican-American and the Central American communities, in particular those of us from El Salvador. But in particular, I mean, I just find it interesting that Villaraigosa hustles and sweats so hard to the point of almost being, well, he sweats so hard to get funds for the, you know, for more cops, for militarizing, you know, profound social issue problems. And he couldn't sweat so hard to save the farm. And I was really disillusioned with Villaraigosa after I saw that he didn't seem to work that hard in saving the South Central farm and the way that the fascist sheriff's department went in there bulldozing like we were in the, you know, Palestinian territory was actually made me sick. And the people were left really disillusioned, especially the people in that area. And I wanted to see what exactly you and the listeners thought about that.
Well, first of all, thank you, and I hope you're going to join us, because remember something, opinions without marching, opinions without demonstrating, opinions without writing op-eds, having a blog, opinions but mainly putting your body in the street in a coordinated, strategic way, are limited. You know, they're good, but they're limited. I agree with you that from everything I understood, one thing about the mayor you have to understand, he has a tremendous ego in some ways in a healthy way. I mean, here's a guy who grew up in a rough neighborhood, is very dedicated to his mom and the whole story. It is a heartwarming story. He did pick himself up by his bootstraps. He did break with the gangs. He did do a lot of good things. He was also a leftist. I don't want to say his affiliations, but at one point he was very, very strongly, I believed in what was called sin fronteras, that is to say, no border between the United States and Mexico. Like a lot of former leftists who become liberals and then become Democrats, we have to understand that there's enormous pressure on them by the system to move first to the center and then to the right. So you're absolutely right. If Antonio Villaraigosa, now he raised money. Here's the story they've told me, they being his friends in the administration, that the owner asked for $16 million, and Antonio Villaraigosa went out and got $16 million through private sources to buy it out. Then the mayor turned around, the owner turned around and said to the mayor, I don't want to do it. I don't want to take the offer of $16 million. And here's the fault. The mayor then said, well, I believe in private property. So if you own this property, you have the right to do what you want. But this property was once the property of Los Angeles. He had the right under eminent domain to say, you're not going to give away this property. You're not going to sell it to developers. As you say, I'm going to put my body on the line. He could have sat in with the demonstrators. He could have told the LAPD and the sheriffs, no arrest. He could have said, I will find a way to keep this property. So obviously the South Central farmers are going to march with us on Tuesday, October 17th at 4 in front of the City Hall. If you support their work, and also it's not an old story. They still want that land back, and they want their charges dropped. So there's something up for grabs. So please turn out, call 213-387-2800 if you want to get involved. And thank you so much. We're still on Voices from the Frontline. We've got about 6 minutes left. This is Eric Mann, your host, KPFK 90.7 FM. Remember tomorrow, the same number you're calling today, 818-585. Is that right? 985. 818-985-5735. The number you're calling for the show today is also the number for the fund drive tomorrow. So go to your ATM, go to your credit card, and get ready tomorrow to give some money. Now, who do we got? Maria. Thank you so much for being on the show, Maria.
Hi.
Hi.
Talk to us.
I'm living in Santa Monica now, and I grew up in Pico Rivera. I'm an adjunct professor out here at the college. And I ride the bus all the time. I don't have a car. But let me tell you, a light rail down Wilshire Boulevard sounds wonderful, because I have to go in and out to the city and into the San Gabriel Valley all the time, and it takes forever. And on top of that, I think just pretending that we're going to be having the same situation in the future to work with what's the way things have been is a mistake. We're not going to have the resources. Indeed, we do not have the resources to continue the way we have been in terms of energy and the way we even conceptualize our communities and society at large. I teach basic skills at SMC, And I'm so concerned about my students not having the basics that they're going to need to survive in this world, because we have just used up so many of our resources. We need to really rethink things profoundly. So this debate about are we going to have cars or more buses or light rail, we've got to know that things are going to be profoundly changed, because we have gone down a path where we just won't have a lot of choices.
Well, thanks, Maria. Listen, I'm not going to debate because you're raising some good points. If you want to call us at 213-387-2800, we'll send you some material about our Clean Air, Clean Lungs, Clean Buses campaign that addresses a lot of the concerns we both share, and maybe it'll tell you a little bit more about how we see it. But I wanted to make sure we got in Pablo and Mo rather than me speaking any further to get them in beforehand. So, Maria, thank you so much. Pablo from Eagle Rock, what do you got to say?
Hello?
Hey, Pablo.
Hey,
Eric.
What's going on?
Okay.
I didn't quite catch the beginning of the show, but I got towards the end. I caught a bit. I'm an 18-year veteran, an MTA driver. I'm a bus operator. You guys had a lawsuit against MTA regarding you needing more buses out for service. On documents, on papers, what proof have you guys received showing that there was more service put out? Because in my eye, as a veteran, I haven't seen more buses out there. It's more work for us now.
Well, it's interesting. Let me just say that our understanding, we know because we monitor, we have our own monitoring service. We think that the MTA has put on, you know, a million additional hours under our work over the last 10 years, which is very, very good. They've gotten rid of 2,000 diesel buses, which you know were totally worthless.
Yeah.
They've replaced those with over 2,300 compressed natural gas buses.
Right.
They brought in the rapid bus, which is really good. They've kept the fare down from $42 for a long time, and when they try to raise it to 50, we raised hell and kept it at $52 at least for a while. I'm going to have to go, and you could even call back on one of our other shows, but again, call 213-387-2800, ask for some of the information, and talk to people, and we'll get you whatever you want. So listen, this has been for myself a really interesting experience. I hope with the support of others, we could do this more often. I want to really thank our listeners and the very intelligence of the calls, and I hope you know that this was just a wide variety of very progressive thoughts. So we're now going to say, okay, Mo, you got to go. Mo, fast. Just say your name and say your point. I'm sorry.
Okay, I just want to say real quick, if the middle class and upper class people rode the bus, it wouldn't be no problem. You remember they had a strike 20 years ago in the bus strike. It took Jesse Jackson to come in to settle the strike. When there's a strike for the workers in Central City, it was settled in 2 days because it affected lawyers and doctors. And until we have a civil rights movement for the poor, this will not change. That's what it's going to take. When poor are being forced to consider a sin or something like that, and we don't discuss, even the presidential election, they didn't even discover the poor anymore. They didn't discuss it. It's the middle class. So until we have a civil rights movement for the poor and not talking about like you're doing something wrong, it's not going to change because they don't care.
Thank you, Mo. Mo, I wanted to get you in the last minute. Join us on Tuesday, the 17th. This is Eric Mann, Voices from the Frontlines. I want to thank our engineers, Mark Maxwell, D'Angela Jones, Melissa Figueroa, our producer, Alan Minsky. Yeah, let's put some of that jazz back on. Our production assistant, Lisa Adler. This has been Eric Mann on Voices from the Frontlines, 90.7 FM. We're going to be back with Susie Wiseman. Remember that the fund drive tomorrow is very important. 818-985-5735. Give early and give often. We're all lucky to have KPFK. Take good care. I'll see you after the fund drive.